2 Kings chapter 4, we'll begin at verse number 1, and it says this: Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. The creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in the house. And she said, Thine handmaiden hath not anything save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go and borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her husband, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now I want to title this short, and I promise it will be short today. The title of this thought today is Make Room for a Miracle. Make room for a miracle. Now, if you're going to help me preach one more time, can you lift your hands and extend your hands toward heaven and say, God, I surrender to you right now, God. God, my will, I pray, would be laid aside, and I surrender my will to yours right now, God. Less of me and more of you right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray right now, let there be a liberty and the freedom in the house of the Lord today, God. I bind anything that's not of you. God, we speak faith into this atmosphere, God. We believe that you've already invaded this house. So we pray, God, let your Holy Spirit resonate in this place, and let all doubt and fear be moved to the side, and let there be a pathway of deliverance in this house. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. One more time, can you clap your hands unto the great God? You could be seated in the presence of the Lord. Make room for a miracle. Make room for a miracle. In this very first verse of this passage, we are introduced in a very intriguing way. It says, Now there cried. Right from the get-go, we find an urgency within the very beginning of this passage. There is a desperate cry that can be heard from the very get-go of this story. Now there cried a certain woman. And it said that there was so much urgency that she couldn't wait till tomorrow, and she couldn't wait till next Sunday. She couldn't wait till pastor was going to teach on Wednesday or when he was going to preach next Sunday, but she simply said, Now is my time. And the Bible would even say that today is the day of salvation. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't hesitate another minute. I wouldn't wait till tomorrow, because no man knows what tomorrow holds, but you ought to make up your mind. Today is my day of salvation. I'm not going to wait till next week. I'm not going to wait till next month, but as for me, today is the day of salvation. I'm tired of excuses. I'm tired of hindrances. Today is the day of salvation. There cried a certain woman. The Bible does not specify what her address is. It doesn't even go as far as to tell us what her name is in Scripture, but all it says is there is a woman who is so very desperate. And the cry can be noted in Scripture. Now there cried a certain woman. And not only that, but it would specify a little bit, and it would tell us that she was a wife of a prophet. Now that is very interesting to note, because that would let me know that she was introduced to the prophetic. That would let me know that she for herself had probably witnessed the miraculous. She had a front row seat to see the demonstration and the power of God. Now there cried a certain woman who had seen the prophetic, who had seen the miraculous, but yet she comes up against this problem that's so big that she's at her wit's end. Has anybody hit their wit's end before? Have you come up and hit a dead end before? Has your life fallen apart and you've said, God, this looks insurmountable. This doesn't make sense. I feel burdened. I feel weighed down. I feel overcome with the pressures of life. Has anybody come in here today feeling that way? Can I just tell you that there is one, that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. If you feel a dead end, can I tell you that Jesus is the way? If you feel hopeless, Jesus is your future. If you feel depressed, there is one that's greater than all your anxiety and depression. His name is Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I feel liberty in the house of the Lord. Chains are going to break today. Lives are going to be restored today. Hope will be found in the house of the Lord. There cried a certain woman who was a wife of a prophet. She comes up against this huge problem where she comes up with some debt. Now, I've experienced some debt in my life, and maybe I could get a witness that sometimes debt feels like it's this deep hole that you will never get out of. For some reason, you pay that monthly payment, and it feels like somebody took a shovel, went a little bit deeper in the hole, and was shoveling while you weren't looking. Sometimes it looks insurmountable at times, and we can feel overcome, and that's what happens in this story. There's a certain woman who is the wife of a prophet who faces some deep debt. And the collectors have come to receive payment on a debt, but yet she comes up empty. So then she remembers, hey, there's still a man of God. Maybe I can go to him and he'll have a word for me. She makes her well. She humbles herself and she makes herself to the way of the prophet. And she says, prophet, I'm in this insurmountable circumstance. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. The prophet would say an interesting question. He would pose this thought to her. He would say, what do you have in the house? And maybe if I'm just thinking at this passage, I'm thinking in her mind's eye, she's thinking, I just told you that I'm broke. I don't have any money. I'm in debt. I'm distraught. I'm discouraged. And you're asking me, what do I have? What's in your house? I came to you looking for a blank check. Tell me what's in your house, prophet. But yet the prophet said, what's in your possession? It's interesting to note her answer. She would look at this prophet and she would say this. She would say, there's nothing in the house. There's nothing in the house. And then she would take a second and she would say, you know what? There was this pot of oil. I thought it was insignificant at the moment. I overlooked it every single time, and it was just on that shelf. But now that you're asking me, I remember the furniture is gone, the chair is gone, the radio is gone. Everything is gone, but I remember that there was this pot, this small thing of oil. It was nothing, but wait, it's something. Can I just tell you here today that we serve a God who specializes in taking the nothing and making it something. Now, I don't know about you, but he took my life that was nothing, and I stand up here today and I can preach his word. So I'm a testimony. He takes the nothingness and he makes something beautiful out of it. There's a story in Genesis chapter 1. Where God steps off into the precipice of nothing, into the darkness of this world. And there's nothing that exists, but God would step out into the nothingness, and all of a sudden we would find a God who's beginning to speak life in the darkness, light in the darkness, and he begins to form things, and he begins to speak the trees into life, and begins to speak the mountains into existence, and he begins to make sure the waters are flowing through the paths of the earth, and God's speaking all of these things into existence. And in the middle of all of this, he stops and he bends down and he grabs the dirt and he begins to form and to make it. And he made it into a man. God took the dirt and he made it have a destiny. He took the mud and made it into a masterpiece. So I'm here to tell you today that whatever the nothing you have in your life, that there is one that still specializes in taking the nothing and making something out of it. If you came in here broke, he owns the cattle of a thousand hills. If you came in here in bondage, he is the liberator of all the captives. If you came in here worried, he'll give you joy for your morning. If you came in here sorrowful, he'll put a dance back in your step. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Takes the nothing and makes something. This is the first thing that she would think would be so absurd. And in the process of all of this, she probably said to herself, man, I've tried everything else. I've tried the monthly payment plan, and it comes up short every time. And yet she said, you know what? I'm going to try this, preacher. I'm going to try what you're saying today. And so she takes this pot of oil, and the preacher said, take the pot and begin to pour it into empty vessels. Now, I can just imagine in this story where she's walking from house to house, and she's knocking on the doors of the house. She looks at the person, answers the door, and she says, hey, can I have an empty vessel? And the neighbor probably thought, man, I thought you were going to ask for some sugar or flour. Man, I thought you were going to ask for some creamer. But you're asking me for nothing? I would think that in her mind's eye, she probably felt a little absurd. It seemed a little pointless to ask for something that is empty. Yet she's making her way all around town, knocking on doors and saying, hey, give me something empty. The preacher said that something was going to happen if I just make room for God. She's going to every house, knocking on every door, collecting all the vessels in town, going to the vessel factory and collecting all the vessels they have. Then she goes home, and the Bible said, you need to shut the door and you need to begin to pour. There is a story in the book of Acts chapter 2, and it would tell us that there was 120 that gathered in an upper room, and they shut the door behind them, and they said, today we're going to have an encounter with God. And they made themselves available. They emptied themselves out of all the protocol of all the things they had planned for their day and all the duties and obligations, and they made their way into the house of the Lord, and they said, I'm going to empty myself out today because maybe God still makes something out of nothing. And the Bible would tell us in Acts that these 120 would be up in this upper room and they begin to pray. And there is still power in prayer. They begin to pray and they said, Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to fall today. And the Bible says as they begin to pray, there was a rushing mighty wind that filled this empty room. And there set upon each of them cloven tongues like as of fire. And they begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And so I'm here today to tell you, if you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you ought to lift your hands and say, God, I empty myself out today. I want your Spirit to fall fresh on me today. God, there's no excuses today. There's no limitations. There's no hindrances. The Bible said, lay aside every weight and the sin that would block you from seeing a breakthrough. Here today, you ought to lay aside every excuse. You ought to lay aside every hindrance. And you ought to say, Holy Spirit, come. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the visitation of the glory of God. There's no excuse big enough that's worth missing the presence of God. There's no job obligation that should mean so much that you miss the presence of God. There's not even a family obligation that's worth missing the presence of God. God. These 120 made room. You can be seated. The Bible says that it would spill over. These empty vessels were spilling over. David would say, there's a cup that the mercy and goodness of God will be poured into, and it overflows. God's plan for your life is to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you ask or you think. But it's according to the power that worketh in you. It's according to the power that works in the empty vessel. That Holy Spirit moving and operating in your life ought to be producing something. This woman would begin to pour this little pot of oil into empty vessels. The Bible would say that as she began to pour, she would have to say, son, go grab another vessel. This one's full. She begins to pour into another empty vessel. And before long, all the empty vessels are now sitting there full. And she says, son, apparently what the prophet said was right. So grab one more vessel so we can pour this oil into. The son looked at her mom and said, hey, we don't have any more vessels. I believe today that God wants to pour out such a move of His Spirit that every vessel in this room would leave this house today saying, God truly is real. God's Spirit still moves. God still has the power to break down every wall, every barrier, every burden. God still has the power to move into my life. I've seen Him do it, and He is the same God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know that same God wants to touch you. I know that same God wants to liberate you. It's the same power, the same God. She's pouring out. The son says there's no more empty vessels. And it's interesting that the miracle was predicated on the obedience in handling the vessels. It was the obedience of handling the oil that produced the miracle. How are you going to handle the oil of the Holy Ghost today? It will determine if you leave this house liberated or still in bondage. She said, prophet, what you said was really true. All these vessels are full. The prophet looked at her and said, sell what you have and live thou and thy children on the rest. This would tell me that this woman made so much room that God would fill all the empty space that it would literally provide for her for the rest of her life. God wants to do a work in your life that will literally be a testimony for the rest of your days. God wants to pour something into the nothingness of your life, and you're going to walk out of here saying, for the rest of my days, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. I will forever lift my eyes to Calvary and gaze upon the one who saved me, who raised me, who healed me, who liberated me. The blood still flows. The blood still flows from Calvary, and it wants to be poured into your life today. My challenge today, a simple word, is to make room for a miracle. To make room for a miracle. And I'm sure some of you are thinking, man, there's this young preacher up here and he's yelling a lot and he's hollering, saying a lot of things I'm not sure about today. That's probably what this woman looked at this prophet and said, man, he's saying some absurd things. But I'm not just speaking today because I was handed this Bible this morning and pastor said, hey, go and try to preach a cute message today. No, I didn't do that today. But I've come here and I've come as a testimony that there is still power in the name of Jesus. And I am a personal testimony because I was bound in sin and I didn't have any hope. I was hopeless. I didn't have a future. But there was somebody by the name of Jesus who just happened to be passing by. And I lifted my voice and I cried just like this lady. And I said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
And Jesus responds to the cry of your heart every single time. You can remain standing here today. Jesus will respond to the cry of your heart. He will stop dead in his track and say, "Hey, did I hear an empty vessel? Hey, did I hear somebody that was reaching out for me again? Hey, did I hear somebody that was shackled in bondage?" God is wanting to know, how empty are you today? Are you satisfied? Are you complacent? Are you content? Are you going to lift your voice just like this certain woman and say, "I don't care what the neighbors say. I don't care what my family says. I could care less if I'm in the newspaper the next morning, but I've come today to cry out to the Lord, because I believe there is a miracle that could happen if I simply make the room." There is a story, as I was thinking about this message, I know it's not Christmas, but I was thinking about this story in Luke chapter 2. And the Bible would tell us that it was going to be the birth of Jesus, and there was Joseph and Mary. They were trying to find a place for Jesus to be birthed. So they went around to the hotels, and they knocked on this certain hotel door, and they said, "Manager, we need a room to stay tonight." And the manager looked at Mary and Joseph and said, "I'm sorry, we don't have any room. All the rooms are full of people. We can't house you here tonight." So they went and found a manger. I wonder here today if Jesus was to knock on the door of your heart and he says, "Hey, can you let me in today?" I wonder if some of our answers would be, I'm sorry, Jesus, I have entertainment in one room. I have job obligations in another room. I have these responsibilities, and my house is too full for you to stay here. But maybe you can go find somewhere else." Here today, I don't care what excuse you came in with. It doesn't matter. Jesus wants to visit you here today. If you will make room for him, if you will empty yourself out of every excuse, of every sin, of every weight, and you say, "Today is my day for salvation." What I want us to do as an act of emptying ourselves out is, if you would come, I know this altar is limited, but if you would step out of your pew and you would make yourself to this altar, I know it's a big commitment, but my challenge to you today is, if you will make that initial step of faith, then Jesus will meet you here today.